So I want to get into this teaching we've been talking about here actually for several weeks about hearing God's voice. And, you know, it's so vital to me. It's so important that we understand, you know, what does it mean to hear God's voice? How do we hear God's voice? When we hear it, how do we know we're hearing it? All of those things, because we know there are so many voices all around that are speaking all the time. And we have to be able to discern what is his voice and what's not his voice. And so we spent several weeks talking about when God speaks, you know, what are some of the things that we look for? Obviously, it'll always honor Christ when he speaks. It's never going to go against his word and so on and so forth. And I'm not going to get into all that because we spent weeks teaching all of that. But then we moved into the second part, and that is how God speaks to us. Because God can speak in a lot of different ways, and he does speak in a lot of different ways. And so, of course, this is based on the fact that Jesus didn't suggest but commanded that we hear God's voice. And why? Because he knew that it would be vital for us, literally vital for us, to hear God's voice. When I hear his voice, it brings life to me. It brings vitality to me. It brings strength to me. Now, depending on what I do with it, if I yield to his voice and I imply what he has said, then all of those things happen. When I ignore his voice, I can be very miserable. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever experienced that? Man, you never want to just ignore the voice of the Lord. So we talked about the fact that, you know, Jesus himself said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We see that in the Gospels. We see that in the book of Revelation. And of course, the ears that he's talking about are the spiritual ears. He doesn't want us to just hear things in the natural, but we can hear things in the spirit. And so I believe God is talking all the time. We're just not listening all the time. God doesn't speak intermittently. I believe God is always, he always has something to say, but we listen intermittently. And so God has something that goes beyond just the surface. And that's what I've noticed. Even in reading the Word of God, there's something below the surface that we can miss if we're just treating it like a book, just a regular book. I want to know, what are you saying to me, Lord? What are you saying specifically to me? And that's where I get that rhema word. It's that spoken, revealed by the Holy Spirit kind of word. It's not just a physical transaction type of thing. And so we talked about the fact that we are a three-part being. We are a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. In order for us to really grasp anything of the kingdom of God, we have to understand that. Now, it's very foundational, very simple, but many people don't get it. And even if they get it up here, somehow or another, they still miss it because they live in a way that's opposite of what God has called us to live. God has called us to live spirit, soul, then body. But most people live body, soul, then spirit. So the poor soul, it's caught in the middle. Our mind, will, and emotions, it's caught in the middle. And it basically, our soul basically is going to lean either into the flesh and everything the flesh wants, or it's going to lean into the spirit and what the spirit wants. And when we become a new creation in Christ Jesus, the old is gone, the new has come. That new spirit man comes alive because he was dead before. He had no power before. He was dead. But when Jesus comes to live on the inside, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside, I literally become alive. My spirit gets a new life, new vigor. And all of a sudden, it has power. And when I allow the Holy Spirit to just really infuse me, and then it takes control, then I can live spirit, soul, and body. No longer does my spirit have no say. No longer does my body and my five senses dictate to me everything that I'm going to do. Because listen, when people are dealing with things like addictions and so on and so forth, that's the problem. They're living body, soul, and spirit. Everybody understand that? And so the body is world conscious, we said. That's number one. It's world conscious. It's corruptible. It's led completely by the five senses, and it operates solely in the physical realm. The soulish realm, our soul is self-conscious, the mind, will, and emotions. It operates in accordance with feelings and reasonings and all of those things. And mankind has, in general, fallen into the same trap that Adam and Eve fell into early on in the garden. Their problem was they leaned into the wrong thing. The temptation came. That fruit was pleasing to the eye. It looked like it would be good for as far as taste, and it would make one wise like God. So the enemy used that against them, and they leaned into their senses. And their soulless realm, instead of leaning into the spirit, leaned into the flesh, and they fail, right? And people have been falling ever since in the same way. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. When Jesus came to this earth, the Bible says that he was led out into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the enemy. And what did he tempt him with? Three things, same bag of tricks. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Trying to get Jesus to lean to his own understanding instead of all his ways acknowledging God. It works so well, the devil has never had to change his strategy in all of these years. The soul, again, it operates in accordance with feelings and reasonings. And so instead of getting all of those things to line up with what my physical man wants and craves, I get it to line up with the Spirit who is infused with the Holy Spirit. So the third part of that is our spirit is God conscious. It is the Spirit, the human spirit, that communicates with God. I've said it over and over again, but God doesn't speak to my brain. God speaks to the Spirit. And then my spirit renews my mind with what God has said. And that may be hard to conceive of, but here's the problem I've found with people, especially very analytical people. People who are very analytical really struggle with the things of the Spirit many times. It's not that they have to, it's just that they're so used to having to figure everything out and know how everything works. And if they can't do that, they stay away from it. That's why people are freaked out by things like tongues and all that. I mean, that makes no sense. What difference does it make when you go blah, 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 blah? I mean, and nobody can understand it. It makes no sense. Well, somebody can understand it. It's the God of the universe. Amen. And I love that gifting because I can't mess it up. If I'm praying in the Spirit, I can't even oppose it with my own brain trying to say, no, that can't happen. That can't happen. Right? And so, again, our spirit is God-conscious. Heavenly communication happens in the spirit realm. I like what Pastor Mike Melay says often. He says, look, spiritual things can't be taught. They have to be caught. That's called a revelation. I get this revelation from God, and then I begin to renew my mind with the revelation that God gave me through his word. Heavenly communication happens in the spirit realm. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about how this affects us and how he speaks to us, but understand it starts in the spirit realm. If I'm going to hear from God, it starts in the spirit realm. That's why God can tell you something or give you an idea, and it seems like it's not going to make any sense, yet it becomes the most fruitful thing that you ever do, where all my good ideas, where I planned it out and I figured it out and I know exactly how I'm going to do it, that leads to nothing. Anybody ever experienced that? Had a good plan, but it didn't work out. So when God speaks and I obey that, it always works out for his glory. So anything that God speaks to you is not going to be a product of your reasoning or your thought processes. In fact, the Bible tells us that the mind is at enmity with God. Again, Pastor Mike Melay says that when man fell, he fell right on his head. You cannot trust that thing. It's damaged. Now, it can be renewed, it can be strengthened, it can be renewed, but we are told not to lean to our own understanding for a reason. All right, so anything that God speaks to you will not be a product of your reasoning or your thought processes. Now, we talked about the fact that how God speaks when he speaks. We talked about, number one, the witness of the Holy Spirit, which is an incredible thing. It's just the Spirit himself, the Bible says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Bearing witness. How many of you have ever been around someone and they didn't have to tell you they were a Christian? You just knew it. Has that ever happened to somebody? Or maybe you've been around someone and then someone said, you know, man, I knew you were a Christian. I just knew. What is it? Well, many times it's that Spirit bearing witness with the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit, Holy Spirit living in me that lives in them, and it bears witness, right? And then there are times when, for instance, somebody says something, and when they say it, man, I just know that was from the Spirit of God, right? And then that works the other way, too. The Bible gives us this gift called the discerning of spirits. Well, this is what it's based on. There is something, it could be a preacher behind a pulpit or on a television or on the radio or whatever, and you hear it and there's just something in you. It's like, that does not bear witness with me. Everybody understand that? I just know something's wrong with that. That's the Spirit bearing witness. And so there are times when, you know, you just suddenly, you just know something. You don't know how you know it. You just know it. Again, it's the Holy Spirit bearing witness. And many of the gifts operate in that way. And then we said there's the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit gives very specific revelation knowledge. Sometimes it's knowledge really that goes beyond our ability to reason. The Apostle Paul talks about that several times throughout the scripture. And again, you can go back and listen to the other messages. All of the messages, by the way, get put on the Church of the Promise Facebook page and go on the website as well. But the revelation of the Holy Spirit, sometimes God will speak revelation to you. And what revelation really is God revealing His heart. It's God revealing His thoughts to you. It's getting us to think like God thinks, right? And by the way, you have to have repentance in order for that to happen. But God speaks through revelation. And Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, one of my favorite scriptures says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." Because I'm getting a little older, been in ministry for quite a while. You know, from time to time, a younger pastor will come up and they want to know what I think about certain things. And I give them now the same answers that my pastors have always given me. And that is this the Holy Spirit telling you to do this, or is this just a good idea? Because if you're just looking for a program or something that works, you can go sit at this church or that church or go listen to this guy and talk about how he got his church to grow. And you can get into all of that kind of stuff. But if that is not what the Holy Spirit says, all you're going to have is flesh. Everybody understand that? If you're going to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ, you better have something more than flesh to offer. Because people have enough flesh. What they need is the things of the Spirit. So we don't want to just think up something that we can think. When we do that, we're limiting ourselves. But we want His thoughts. We want His thoughts. His thoughts are higher than mine. His ways are higher than mine. But He lets me tap into them. And He lets you tap into them. But it's that revelation of the Holy Spirit. And then we said, thirdly, that there is the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit, where He gives specific instructions. We talked about that sometimes you may be driving and you may go a certain way every day and the Lord says, no, today go this way. Well, there's a reason for that. Either something that He's trying to save you from, or there's somebody He's trying to bring you to. But there is something, there's a reason for it. And so you just learn to obey with unconscious obedience. And so the Holy Spirit speaks to us with His instructive voice. And sometimes, you know, sometimes that voice is commanding. How many of you have ever just heard in your spirit God give you a command, like it was a commanding voice He spoke to you? Raise your hand if you've ever experienced that. It was very firm. You know, I use illustrations in my own life because that's what I know. But I remember, you know, passing by a guy, God had told me to go down a different route. And as I'm going down that different route, there's a guy walking on the side of the road and God tells me to stop and give him $20. Well, I didn't want to do that because I only had like $25, right? And I had to get gas and I had all of this kind of stuff. And so he said it and I kind of ignored it and rationalized it away. You know how that works, right? We can rationalize it away. And so I did that, but man, I'm telling you, that voice got more and more commanding. And it was like, there's no way I could possibly ignore this. I literally had to turn around and come back and find the guy. And so this guy, come to find out, he had walked across the country. God said, God told him to walk across the country. And so that is what he was doing. And he had literally walked across the country and was going back, started in California and was going back to California and was in Louisiana heading west. And so, man, this guy had, I sat and talked with him for a while and he had so much biblical knowledge and he began to share his experiences and all the people. He was on a mission for the Lord. Now, I know that might sound weird, but it's what God told him to do. And he won countless thousands of people to the Lord as he walked throughout the United States. And so he's sharing with me these testimonies and these incredible miracles and these things. And yet, here I was being stubborn about giving him that money. And so I turned around and I gave it to him. And I said, could you use this? He said, yeah, I could use it. He said, I'm actually a little hungry. And I said, well, God told me to give it to you. And so anyway, after we talked a while, there was a store a little bit behind us and where they had some food. And I said, well, you could probably just go right there to that store and go get some food. And he said, no. He said, the Lord said, never go backwards, only forward. I said, but the store's right there. He said, I didn't get this far by thinking for myself, right? And then I felt bad because if I'd given him the money when God said to, he could have went in the store and got him some food. So the thing is, there's this instructive voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God will tell you something. Sometimes it's in a commanding voice. And then sometimes it's in a still small voice. Sometimes that still small voice is because God wants to draw me close. He wants me to come close to listen. He wants me close to Him. And sometimes that voice is small because of that. Then other times that voice is small because I have now violated my conscience over and over and over again and ignored His voice over and over again, ignored His commands over and over again to where I can't hear Him anymore. And this is where we get to that point of a seared conscience. It's a very dangerous place to be. And boy, I remember a time in my life where I felt like I had reached that place and I couldn't hear from God anymore because I was being stubborn and rebellious and lost in confusion and all that. And I remember crying out to God and saying, God, I'm sorry. I need to hear from You. I need to hear from You. I had to come to repentance. And in coming with repentance, God restored that. Okay. So it's not that it's lost forever. But what happens is you can begin to do things not feeling guilty about it anymore because now you've seared your conscience because you've ignored what God has said over and over again. And there are times when God tried to speak to you and you just wouldn't listen. And so again, that's that where God has an instructive voice. There are things that He will tell you to do sometimes that will not make sense. There are things that He wants to do in your life that can only happen if you follow His instructive voice. If you don't, it will not manifest. So it's very clear, it's very important that we hear that instructive voice and obey it. Now, of course, He's never going to tell you to do anything that is in disagreement with His word or with His character. So then we get to number four. And that's the voice of the human spirit, the voice of the human spirit. Romans chapter 9, verse 1, Paul says, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. Isn't it sad that the Apostle Paul had to tell the people, I'm not lying? Isn't it sad that God has to tell people, I'm not lying? No, I really meant that, right? So he's saying, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears witness in the Holy Spirit. So our inner man has a voice, and it is the conscience. I believe God speaks. He uses our conscience. God speaks something to our spirit and then uses our conscience to renew our mind. Now, I will caution people, your conscience, if the Holy Spirit is not there, if the Spirit of God doesn't live in a person, how many of you know their conscience is broken? Sin has broken that thing. That's why people can do things thinking they're doing the right thing and it could be outright evil. That's why people can promote all kinds of sexual immorality and think it's okay, they're doing the right thing because it's really about freedom. That's why people can promote things like abortion and somehow think they're doing the right thing because I'm just showing compassion to the mother, so on and so forth. There's all this crazy stuff that happens when your conscience has been distorted and damaged. And then the Holy Spirit comes and then He restores that conscience. But again, it's in perpetual repentance that our conscience stays strong. It's very important that we live, we purposely live with a clean conscience. How do we do that? When God speaks, we obey. When I ignore Him, I allow my conscience to be corrupted. Okay, very important. So, you know, when God speaks to you, we all know what it means for your conscience to speak, right? Anybody ever gonna do something wrong and the Holy Spirit says, mm-mm, right? Don't do that. Well, when your conscience is working correctly, it's always gonna lead you the right way. And so that is the voice of the human spirit. It is what God uses. All right, so when we listen to our spirit, then God has dominion in our life. When I just listen to my own rationalizations, when I just listen to my own feelings, when I listen to my own chemicals telling me what to do, then I'm always going to do the wrong thing. So when we listen to our spirit, and of course it's the Holy Spirit infused with our spirit, then God has dominion in our life and we're yielded to Him and we find His perfect will for our lives and we find ourselves in perfect peace. Now, how many of you have ever been in a situation where you just had absolutely no peace, right? Like you did something, you made a decision, you were about to, but there was just no peace whatsoever. Well, your conscience, if your conscience has been renewed by God, will not allow you to live in peace and live in sin at the same time. That's why I pray, Lord, don't let them have another good night's sleep until they come to repentance. Lord, don't let them feel any peace whatsoever. God, make them miserable. That's why I tell people, you may not want me to pray for you. Make them feel miserable. You know, we prayed just last week. We talked about this and prayed, Lord, if there's somebody dealing with stuff in a demonic realm, they don't know what they're dealing with, playing with, reveal it to them. Let them have an experience. Reveal to them what they've been playing with. During the week, we get a phone call from someone that hadn't been here in quite a while saying, man, I had a demonic attack. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It woke them up. They were in church today. You say, well, I've never heard anything like that. Well, I'm telling you, it works. So I want God to reveal himself to people, but I also want people to get their eyes open so they can see what they're playing with. Because if you can really see what you're playing with out there, you don't want to play with that anymore. So this is why we must train our spirits to hear the Spirit of God, to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord. Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit and that he would lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And again, when he is infused with our spirit, then he will use our conscience to retrain our mind. That's what being renewed in the mind is. Reading the Bible does not renew my mind if all I'm doing is reading it like just any other book. But when I'm getting insight and revelation from God, and this is what God is really intending to say to me and to his church, man, that's revelation that changes the way I think, because I have been programmed to think wrongly by everything around me. And so the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. So many Christians worry about whether they're doing the right thing. Well, I want to tell you, if we're correctly hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through, you know, our human spirit, through our conscience, and we obey that, then we're doing the right thing. If we're in rebellion, then we're not going to do the right thing. We're going to, again, lean to our own understanding. We're going to do things our way. And so God is imparting strategies to increase the kingdom of God and our personal lives regularly. But I can't get my strategy from somebody else. Listen, as a pastor, I can't get a strategy for this church from some other pastor. I can't get a strategy for this body. I have to hear from God what he wants us to do in this body specifically, because it's a different people, right? Now, I tell people all the time, you know, say, do you have children's church? No, we don't. Well, why not? Every church has children's church. Well, not every church. We don't. Well, why not? Well, we used to do that. We were all about children's church until the Lord told me, stop separating my families. Until the Lord told me, children need to see their parents actually worship God and give and participate and listen. That parents are the ones who are supposed to teach the children. Right? So we tell them, look, we're going to put up with some squiggling and some wiggling and some noises here and there or whatever it takes. And we have a nursery for little ones, and we have live stream stuff out here for those that feel like they need to step out for a little bit. But how many of you know, listen, this children's church is a pretty recent invention. It was an idea of people, right? And I was stunned because we used to be children's pastors. We were all about that. Now, we do children's ministry. We do all that on Wednesday nights. It's very specific. It's classes, and we do that for all the age groups. But on Sunday morning, the Lord said, Sundays are for my families, and you stop dividing them. And that was a rebuke. He was rebuking me. And so I, yes, sir. So we did it, and we lost people over it. People say, well, I don't want to have to deal with that kid during the service. I can't even pay attention. That kid don't even listen. Well, that's your kid. Do something about it, right? Again, God is imparting strategies, but again, that strategy has to come from the Spirit of the Lord, and it has to apply to my life. Can I tell you, his strategy for me may be different than his strategy for you or you or you. His strategy for my marriage may be different than the strategy for your marriage, if you're married, or whatever. So it's all going to be biblical. It's all going to line up with his word, but we have to hear from God. All right, number five, visions of the Lord. And this is the last one we're going to be able to deal with. Let me just give you several scriptures. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, and I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. I love that, because there's a whole bunch of people out there who believe women ought to just keep their mouth shut, because they use a specific portion of scripture that was dealing with, I believe, a cultural issue of the time. And they say women should never speak for God. Well, that's not what the Bible says. And so your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I always say, if I'm just seeing visions, I'm doing all right. When I start dreaming dreams, that means I must be getting old. But I believe the Lord moves, and I don't think this is you're only going to see visions if you're young and only going to dream dreams if you're old. It's not that. But I do believe God speaks through those things. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 12. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Isn't that amazing? God gave him a vision so he could get his vision restored. Isn't that amazing? So Ananias has a vision, and Saul, later to be called Paul, has a vision. God puts those two visions together. Isn't it awesome when God puts two visions together? That's incredible. Acts chapter 10, verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly a vision, an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And then we're going to skip up to verse 9 here. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance, and he saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. And in it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, What God has made clean, do not call common. And this happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius have made inquiry, for Simon's house stood at the gate, and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. So here we have again, God is using a vision to lead, to guide somebody. And so let's keep going. Just wanted to give you several scriptures on this. And note that this is New Testament. This is the New Testament church. So this is Acts 16, 9 through 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him, saying, Come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to him. So again, he used a vision to get Paul in the right direction. Acts chapter 18, verse 9 through 11. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people. And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. And then there are many more scriptures that deal with this idea of vision. But I want to tell you that God uses visions, and he can use them in a very, very powerful way, as well as dreams. Now, I believe to some degree that God will speak through dreams and visions, because that's the only way he can get our attention. Right, because sometimes we just don't want to listen to his voice. So sometimes he's got to be a little more dramatic, right? And there was a time years ago when I was a young man, I had this vision. It was so real to me. And I've shared this before, but it was so, so real to me that I did not know whether or not I had really died, or if it was kind of like Paul said, in the body or out of the body. And I remember in this dream, I literally remember flying through the sky at an incredible amount of speed, like the rapture had taken place or something. And in that, he showed me several things. But I remember literally going through the gates of heaven and into the throne room and standing before the King of the universe. And it was this incredible, bright light. I mean, it was just so incredible, and colors that I'd never seen or experienced before. It was just this incredible experience. And I remember being so completely overwhelmed and in awe, I couldn't say anything. And I began to see God begin to play my life before my eyes. And it was like a screen, but it wasn't a screen, but it was like just there it was. I could see my life playing out. I could see scenes. I could see people. I could recognize people in these scenes that were playing out, and they were happening very, very fast, but yet I could see them, and I could recognize what was going on. And many of them were scenes of my life where I was with people who did not know Christ, and yet I did not share the gospel. For whatever reason, people I worked with, so on and so forth. And I didn't share the gospel because I remember feeling the embarrassment and all of that, and feeling intimidated. And I did not share the gospel with them because of all of those things. And the Lord was letting me know in that moment, they're lost and they're going to hell. You could have done something, but you chose not to. And I remember this overwhelming, incredible grief like I had never experienced before, completely overtaking me. And I could not stop crying, gut crying, just cry and cry and cry. It was so painful just knowing that I could have at least tried. I could have said something, and I chose not to because I let, not because they didn't want to listen, but because I let other things, embarrassment or whatever, keep me from doing it. You never know what God will use. Sometimes it's only one word. You never know. But when you obey the Lord and you do the right thing. So I was ignoring what God was trying to get me to do. And so in this vision, all this is being played before my eyes. I mean, this is where I really came to recognize when the scripture says that he'll wipe away all our tears. That doesn't just mean all the tears that we have on earth. But there will be a time where we're going to stand before Almighty God and our life will be played out before us. And he's going to be the one that has to wipe those tears away. Now, in heaven, but still, what did you do with what I gave you, right? We will have to give an account for what he's done for us and with us and what he's given us. And most people don't even give that a second thought. And so I remember him just suddenly giving me peace, just peace. And I had no more tears, no more crying, but I was really confounded. And it was like, what now? And I remember the Lord speaking to me. Again, this is a vision. And it was so real to me. I remember him speaking to me and saying, it's not your time yet. You go back. I'm sending you back. But do not let this be the result of your life. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. And man, I want to tell you, that morning I woke up a different person. And I remember going, those people, everybody I could remember that I had seen in that vision in heaven, I knew they were lost, and I went and tracked them down. And I remember some of them thought I was nuts. And they didn't all receive Christ. Some did. Some didn't. Some still wanted to live their life, but they at least appreciated me trying, right? But I want to tell you, I could no longer, in that moment, I thought, I can no longer afford to ignore what God is trying to get me to do. People's lives are at stake. Their eternal life is at stake. Let me ask you, what are you doing with it? So I said all that to say, one of the ways God speaks is through visions. And I want to tell you, that vision changed my life. Now, I've had many since. Things that I've seen and experienced, and I won't go into all of that. But I want to tell you, when God talks to you in that way, it's life-changing. So we have some people in the room that have, some that hasn't. That's not a bad thing, but I just believe what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do today is to pray for that to be opened up, for people to be able to experience those visions from the Lord in a supernatural way today. So I don't want to bring to God, I don't want to tell God what I want him to do. I want God to tell me what he wants me to do. And I want to follow that. So why don't you, if you say, you know what, I want my ear to be tuned to the Lord a little better. I want to recognize it when he speaks. I want the Lord to be able to speak to me through these supernatural visions. I just believe that you're going to begin to experience this. Why don't you raise your hands to the Lord if you say that's you. Father, I thank you for a supernatural anointing upon them. Lord God, to be able to see visions from you. I thank you, Father God, that you are clearing out the spiritual wax in our spiritual ears so that we can hear from you, Father God. And Lord, I thank you that you already speak to people in dreams and visions. Some people in this room you speak to regularly in that way. But Father, I pray that you would begin to speak in a way that gets our attention, Lord, that we could not ignore. In Jesus' name, Lord, we release that visions and dreams to come to your people, Father God. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you will give them discernment to know what's you, what's not you. Father, I thank you, God, that you are helping us to hear your voice clearly. Lord, just like you spoke to the Apostle Paul and gave him direction, and you spoke to Peter and gave him direction through visions, I pray, Father God, that you'll do the same for this people right here. And Lord, I thank you, God, that lives will forever be changed because of it. Lord, we just want to hear from you. We don't want to do things our way. God, we want to do it your way. Lord, too many times we've done it our way and then blamed you when it didn't work out. But Father, we know where the blame really should go. And Lord, we understand it was us leaning to our own understanding. But Father, today we declare we want to acknowledge you in all our ways. Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to obey you. We want to live in perpetual repentance before you, God, thinking on your thoughts, acting on your thoughts. And we thank you for that. I give you praise and honor and glory. Now, Lord, I thank you for the anointing that is upon this people. Father, I thank you, God, that they have been anointed to heal the sick and to raise the dead and cast out devils and heal incurable diseases, to declare the truth of the gospel, Lord, in a way that affects people and impacts people's lives, God. I thank you that as we leave this place today, we don't just leave going out doing what we've always done, Lord, but I thank you that we'll leave with a new perspective, Father. Lord, I thank you for helping us to be kingdom-minded. Lord, our minds on eternity, knowing that everything we do affects our eternity and someone else's as well. As Lord, I thank you for raising up a people who will not be ashamed, who will not be fearful, but Lord, who will speak the truth in love at every opportunity. I thank you for people that will demonstrate the power of God at every opportunity. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. All in agreement, won't you shout amen.